Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends, as this video is brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Good morning, my friends. It is time to start the real PGA season. I am Johnny Danger. With me, as always, Adam White, and we are here to talk about the Players Championship. Before we get to that, Adam, let's talk about last week for a quick minute, the old Arnold Palmer Invitational. We said at the beginning of our show that Scotty was the answer, the only answer, and the only reason why you fade him is ownership play alone. And he took it to the house. He took it to the house. It was good.
He did. He had a pretty solid lead on anybody trailing him on the way to the house. His performance over the weekend, basically back nine Saturday and then Sunday, was, dare I say, Tiger-esque. I hate the comparisons to Tiger. I hate when they're like, oh, this is the most Tiger-like guy since Tiger. Just shut up. But what Scotty's done for the last, like, 3 years now, two seasons and then this partial one, is pretty unprecedented outside of Tiger this millennium. So we got to start giving the guy his props, man. He's priced way up this week, even in a great field, and with good reason. He's the most dominant player in the world right now. So
he sure is.
Yeah.
We had a couple of good picks, though. I said I like Shane Lowry. He didn't make it into my lineup, but he played well. Benny Ann coming through for us yet again. Willie Z. So, you know, if you listen to us, we led you in the right direction, I feel.
Yeah, and JT had a good week up until Sunday, as did Harris English. You know, JT was in second place until he absolutely crapped himself, going missing four out of five. I put a top 10 parlay on four dudes, Homa, Zalatoris, Benny Ahn, and Justin Thomas halfway through, which would have paid out $900 for 25. Yeah. And JT bogeying four of the last five holes, missed it by one, and the other three were all in the top 10. So that was painful. But still profitable week. Hit on a little parlay with top 10 Zalatoris. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Now, look, I like to give us credit when we're right, but I also like to take it on the chin when I'm wrong. And I flag planted Adam Scott, man, and it was not good from like the first tee. It was ugly. It was bad. I made a mistake. The other guy, I pivoted off Scotty and played Cantlay. But I feel like flop lag on that. Flop lag. You know, when you it's a poker term, you know, when you have king, queen in your hand and it completely busts, but then the very next hand, the initial flop goes king, queen, queen, right? So flop lag. I'm going to play him again, but we'll get to that in a minute. So let's get into this Players' Championship. Tell me about the course. Tell me about the stats you're looking at.
We are at the TPC at Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, where a few players do make their home on the PGA Tour. It's a par 72. We do have four par fives this week, just as we did last week at Bay Hill. It's gonna be just under 7,300 yards total. Tight holes, not overly tight off the tee, but we have a lot of water hazards. So you're gonna see some double, triple, and even quadruple bogeys. By the way, we saw two scores in the double digits last week for Jake Knapp and Tommy Fleetwood. You're gonna see that again this week, most likely. Maybe not double digits, but at least some triples and quads where you're like, hey, my guy's a couple under through six holes. This is fun. And then he's just gone. Most famous hole, 17, it's probably one of the most famous holes in golf. That sets up a very, let's say, anxiety-inducing finish. But again, just under 7,300 yards. You want guys who can sort of hit it straight off the tee and avoid those big numbers. So it's usually somewhere in the neighborhood of like 12th to 15th most difficult course on tour. So we do want some bogey avoidance, a little more difficulty overall. So we want guys that can finish a little more up towards the top of the leaderboard, not as much emphasis on making a bunch of birdies like we might have at some birdie fests. Bermuda greens, just like we had last week at Bay Hill. So if your guys are hot with the putter, you might want to look at continuing to ride those hot putters. Greens are not particularly large, and driving distance is not going to be a huge factor this week. It's very much a position golf course off the tee, because a lot of times if you do hit it too far, you're running out of fairway and getting into some waste bunkers and some trouble. So very, very much an approach golf course, which, you know, as we say, approach shots are always key. But this week, I think even more so than most.
I like it. One thing I need to ask you, if you like, How do you like the stash this week? What do you think of that?
The stash is looking great, man. I think
it goes well with my cup here, my Ted Lasso cup. It's an excellent combination. Feeling good about
it. Well, it's the only thing I'd say about your look is that you're not repping anything Detroit, and it is 313 day, buddy. Everybody in the 313. Oh, you're in the 517.
Oh, yeah. But look at that, though. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it was until one final game this year. But anyways, let's get into this, shall we? All right, you told us about the course. You gave us the stat you're looking at. And I'm just going to go right into this model, as you know that I like to do. There is only one player in my model projected over 15% ownership, and that is Scottie Scheffler sitting at 35% ownership. I don't know, man. It's really hard to win tournaments back-to-back, so I think I probably get on the fade again. But he's like my ceiling projections for him, man, are 33% higher than the next closest guy in Rory McIlroy. Is he really 33% better than the field?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're looking at, we played this tournament, let's say a simulation, we played it 10 times. I think Scottie's going to end up being in your lineup at least half of those, as far as an ideal lineup goes, which is crazy to say, but it's true. He's playing such high level golf. You just can't, if you play one lineup a week and you're like, hey, I want to maximize my chances to win a GPP. Sure. You fade the highest owned guy, just in game theory alone, but it's particularly scary just to fade him. And he's the defending champ. Did we mention that? He's the defending freaking champ of this tournament.
Right.
We've seen he does pretty well at courses that he's played well at before, such as TPC Scottsdale, such as Bay Hill, where he just played. Now he's coming back as the defending champ. We got Masters on the horizon. He's obviously focused and ready to gear up for that. I personally can't fade him. Like I said, I play three lineups a week, as we discuss each week, and he's going to be in two of them. I want to be overweight, so one out of three is not going to do it.
Right. So if I can make a football comparison, you know, I write the ownership pivots at drroto.com for the DFS week for NFL. And one of the things I like to look at is usually when you see a guy with super high ownership, when you're actually looking at leverage, like, you know, against the field, the highest guys tend to be kind of lower average or lower leverage because, you know, people are playing him, except for Christian McCaffrey every single week, highest percentage owned guy, highest salary guy, and right there in the leverage scoring. This is what's happening with Scottie Scheffler right now. He is a flat leverage play, even at the highest owned guy.
I think that's a great comparison because it's almost like the DFS algorithms don't know how to price them properly. Like they can't, they're not adjusting in real time. And I think Scottie, as crazy as this sounds, at his price, I think he's sort of still a value.
That's what my model is spitting out. My model says his leverage score is good. So I think I got to go with it. So we'll just keep going. But let's talk about anybody else in that 10K range. Do you like my flop leg comparison with Patrick Cantlay? You told me last week right here on the air that I was a week early on Cantlay. You told me that. You said, this isn't his course. Next week's his course. Don't play Cantlay. I did it anyways. He made the cut. It was fine. But do I go back to Patrick Cantlay?
He made the cut 50 out of 70 guys. Actually, I don't mind Cantlay. And here's the reason why. He's projected to be the lowest owned guy in the 10K and up range. If you're looking at 9K and up, there are only two other guys down in that range. And they're two absolute studs in Wyndham Clark and Cameron Young. Some of the ownership percentages don't make sense to me this week. Like, guys might be overdoing it on, oh, this is just a little plotter's course and it's all approach. Like, distance is still going to help you. When you're on these par fives, as we mentioned, there are four of them. When you're on these par fives, the medium length hitters can't reach number 9 and 2. They're going to have a hard time reaching 11 and two. So I don't know. I think it's setting up for an interesting game theory week. And Cantlay is the guy that I'm looking at. Xander as well. Like, I think if there's one guy who you'd consider a safe bet outside of Scheffler to top 10, as long as Xander can keep it and play off the tee. And again, this is not a course that demands great driving off the tee. Xander's a guy that's going to be right there, you know, in the top 10 at the end of the week as well. And he makes a ton of birdies, creates eagle opportunities on par five. So Scheffler and Xander are the safest bets. If you're looking for leverage with an ownership play, as we talked about last week, this is more of a Cantlay course than Bay Hill was. And he's looking at least in my projections, 9% ownership, only guy under really 14% above 10K. So just for those reasons alone, yeah, he's a guy that I'm interested in.
Well, I like to hear that because I play a lot of poker and I don't like folding twice in a row. So I'm going right back to Cantlay in this top 10. If I fade Scotty, which, you know, I'm only playing one lineup. I'm doing an experiment this year. I'm playing one lineup a week. We'll see how that goes for me. Right now, I've been profitable, what, 5 out of 6 weeks we've played?
So yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's been good.
You're finishing at least top half of the field pretty much week in, week out. The interesting thing I wanted to mention, though, is that, you know, EVR, you've said over and over again, is pretty dead to you. And that's when he was, like, priced in the 7, 8K range and he burned you. Now Cantlay burns you at, you know, whatever it was, 10,000 and change last week. And now you're like,
yeah,
go right back to him.
Right back at it. It's all about pedigree, sir. Pedigree. Let's move into that 9K range. So the first person in projections for me is a guy that we were on at the beginning of the season and kind of has fallen off a little bit, but Ludvig Åberg. What do you think of him? He pops as the highest scoring 9K player, and he did me well at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I love Ludvig this week. I think he's going to go under the radar. When you look at his ownership percentage, he is sub 10% as far as the projections, whereas most guys in this range are more like the 12 to 15 range. I think he's a great driver of the golf ball, but I think people might misconstrue that and say he's not going to play well at these club down off the tee courses. He won at RSM last fall. He played great at Pebble this year. Those are both courses where driving off the tee is not necessarily paramount. So I love Ludvig this week. I don't care that he hasn't played this course before in competition. I think it suits him very well. And I think a little bit of the lack of scar tissue, shall we say, for him is a reason why he could succeed here. He's a great approach player. So he's going to club down and be hitting, you know, driving iron or utility iron or fairway wood off the tee on a lot of these par fours. He's got the distance that the par fives into. His ownership is down. He's a great approach player. So to me, yeah, I'm going right back to Ludvig as well, even though he had a pretty middling finish last week. I love this golf course for him, and I love the fact that he's going overlooked. He's my favorite guy in the 9K range.
Yeah, I think it's weird when we align. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But I like it for this week. Who else do you like in that 9K range? I didn't pay it a ton of attention because I kind of like playing Scotty. I kind of like Ludvig and Cantlay a lot. And it's not going to let me kind of play around in that range much. Hideki had a pretty bad day four. Otherwise, he looked real good after skipping a couple of weeks. We've had some love for Sammy Burns. We've had some love for Cameron Young this year. Anybody else strike your fancy in the 9K range?
Yeah, so I like looking at sort of skill set types and why they gravitate towards top of the leaderboard. So if you think about the Genesis, where Masayama won with a very hot Sunday, you had Zalatoris right there with the lead, you know, partway through the back nine, and Zalatoris was overtaken by Masayama. These are both guys who are phenomenal ball strikers, tee to green. So if you like one, you should like the other. It's a little bit like Cantlay and Schauffele light. Those are very similar type players. Xander being a little bit longer, but I think both those guys are pretty solid bets to have a good finish this week. However, I don't think they provide you a lot of leverage. Between the two of them, they're combined about 30% ownership. So while I think, you know, logically it makes sense that Zalatoris and Matsuyama could play well, looking at the last 5 years or so, it's pretty common that a lot of the top 10 in ownership absolutely fail, miss the cut. It's more of a difficult week to predict than especially the last couple where we talked a lot about how course fit is a big factor. It's not this week. You've seen guys win who haven't had a top 50 at all before that in their 3 to 4 times playing the course. So that's not something I'm looking at real closely this week as far as course history, skill set, fit. I just want guys who are going to be able to kind of, let's say, strokes gained mental game. So guys that are not going to get down on themselves and absolutely eject like we saw a lot of guys do last week. So with that in mind, a guy that I like that you were on last week this week he is one of the higher-owned guys in this range, but I like Max Homa quite a bit. The reason why, I think his skill set's fine here, but he's sort of a – he's a guy who's won at a couple of big events, but he hasn't quite contended in these – in these majors or an event like this. The PGA Tour is kind of their flagship event. So last week he started off really rough on Sunday, but battled and battled and battled. And his mental strength, I think, is what's going to leave him, you know, up in the top 10 at the end of the week. So the guys I like in that range, we talked about Oberg earlier. I like him and Homa for the reasons I listed. I think Homa, even though he's a higher ownership guy, at least as far as the projections, he's a guy that I like just for what we talked about, hanging in there. He's long enough to hit the par fives and two. And yeah, I like him because he's going to hang in there and not blow up and make those two or three big holes in a row.
I like it. All right, let's dip into the $8,000 range. One of my all-time favorite players sitting at the very bottom of this range. He pops in both the models that I've ran today. He's going severely under-owned at 8,000 flat. Siwoo Kim. I might have to plant my flag, Adam. Might have to plant my flag again.
You're going to have to. He's projected as, you know, highest owned in this range, along with Russell Henley. He got a huge win here. I think he was 21 when he won the Players. I mean, when he's on, he's an absolute stud. And he is priced $100 below Mr. On himself, Benny On. But yeah, I can't fault you for liking Siwoo. You love to plant your flag with Siwoo this year. I think it's the second time you've done that so far.
That's true. It'll be my first repeat if I finish this show with that opinion still.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of displaying some take lock here on a few of these guys. Like, some of these guys you can't quit, which is interesting. To me, in the AK range, it's hard not to like Russell Henley with what he's shown. He does love putting on Bermuda. He's a Georgia boy. This is Northern Florida, very close to the Georgia border. Yes, he's looking at 14% ownership. If you are a one lineup guy like you are, and you want to maximize that lineup in GPPs, he's probably not your guy. You know, 15% in this range, he could cost you pretty dearly. So I'm not necessarily saying you should play him if you're you. But I can't fault you for Siwoo Kim. The interesting one to me is Tagala coming off a really good finish last week on a course where he can get these par fives and two. He's a little erratic off the tee, but he's kind of found this new drive that's kind of a low cut. What's your leverage score saying on Mr. Sahith Tagala, sir?
Oh, well, let me pop that up. Let me see where he lands.
Because
he's ownership. He's a solid leverage play. He's good. I've got him at 8.5 on my ownership scale. I know it's slightly different than the one you use, but that's low owned for somebody who has been pretty outstanding on the year.
I think it's like the contrarian view this week is people are looking at these longer hitters as losing their advantage because it's kind of a club down course off the tee. That may be true, but a lot of these longer hitters are also able to stick their approaches closer. It looks like there hasn't been a lot of rain, so the greens should be firmer. So if you want guys who can attack pins, stop the ball to some front pins, even on par fives, like we talked about in their with their second shot, you know, these are guys who they don't beat the field most weeks just because they hit it long off the tee. It's a lot of its approach too, with their apex height, the ability to stop the ball quickly when it lands. And there are some storms projected or potential storms this week, but if those don't hit and it firms up by Saturday, Sunday, the guys who are going to sort of rise to the top of that leaderboard are guys like Sahith. So, and he's got a great short game too. He chipped in twice last week on Thursday as I was watching. And so guys like him, Finau, I'm not necessarily as interested in, but guys like Sahith who give you that upside of, I mean, he's a budding superstar in my mind. So I see him as a top 10
player. He's shown it a few times this year.
He's shown out. Yeah, he played great last week on Sunday at Bay Hill. So
how about Tommy Fleetwood? Tommy Fleetwood pops pretty good in both the Paydirt and the Data Golf models. I see him at under 9% owned in both fields. Is 8,800 Tommy Fleetwood a decent ownership pivot in your mind?
He's not. No, it wasn't just the big number last week. to me, it's he hasn't shown that consistency round to round, that he's in a good headspace, that he's able to kind of execute what he's trying to hit, the shots he's trying to hit. He just kind of looks shaky, and that's not where you want to be coming into this week. I know, you know, it's one tournament and mainly one hole that cost him, but I just haven't seen it from him this year. This is not a course that I want to see, at least somebody who's shown some form fairly recently coming into the week. And if you're mentally shaky, not a guy I'm looking at. We can talk through the rest of this range, though. Like, Tom Kim has been very, very under the radar with good reason. He just hasn't been playing well this year, but I see his skill set working pretty well on this course. He doesn't make a ton of birdies, but doesn't make a ton of bogeys when he's playing well. So Tom Kim at 7.5% is what I'm seeing him projected at. Not a bad value there. And I do see Siwoo as, you know, right there with the highest projections in this range. So Siwoo's a dude I like a lot.
Siwoo's my guy, but what about Minwoo Lee? Super highly owned last week, not necessarily owned this week. Does he fit this course at 8,000 flat? I kind of like this 8,000 range to build a balanced lineup this week.
Yeah, so Minwoo is another guy with that skill set we talked about, much like Sahith, where he absolutely bombs the ball off the tee. So, yeah, the driver is going to be negated on a lot of these par fours, his normal benefit or advantage over the field. However, last year he was in second going into the last three holes, and he did blow up. I think he dunked it twice on 17, if I remember right. But he was right there at the end. I mean, 69, 70 holes of golf, and he's right there. Maybe not with a chance to win, but he's a couple shots back of Scotty, who played phenomenal golf. So, yeah, Minwoo has that skill set where he can hit the par fives and two. He's got a pretty solid short game, good wedge game. He hits a great stinger off the tee with his sort of utility iron. So another guy that I really like. And if his ownership's going to dip because he had one rough week, I think back to 2 weeks ago where he was right there in the top, you know, two, three guys and had a chance to really put some pressure on down the stretch and just burn some edges down the stretch. So, yeah, right with you there. I think Minwoo is a guy who creates a nice pivot. And I think, to me, he's got more upside than anyone in this range, maybe outside of Siwoo and Sahith. So, yeah, he's a guy I like a lot this week just for that skill set sort of differentiator we've been talking about.
Love it. All right, let's get into the 7,000 range. We've got about 6-7 minutes left to wrap this up. The 7K range sees some people we've talked about. Cameron Davis this year. We've had some fun with Keith Mitchell earlier in the season. Adam Scott shall not be mentioned again. JT Poston, a guy that I rode early and often at the beginning of the season. Sticking up in the projections really well. A huge leverage score and only 7,700. Talk me off the JT Poston ledge.
I'm not sure I can completely do that. I guess it depends on what you need. You know, I think he's a very good play for, you know, double up cash game type lineups. Not super high in them in tournaments. I think there are some guys in here that offer you a little better, not necessarily leverage, but just upside to finish top five, top 10. So, yeah, if you want to play him, I can't fault you. The nice thing in this range is the ownership is outside of like two guys, not very condensed. So you can kind of pick where you want to be.
I got Poston at like 3-4%.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. If you like the guy, go for it. You know, he doesn't have – the nice thing about this tournament is that a variety of different skill sets and strengths can kind of bring you up towards the top of the leaderboard. You don't have to be a bomber. You don't have to be a phenomenal putter. Good short game helps, but he is one of the best putters on tour. So if he rides a good flat stick, has a little better than average approach week for him, by all means. Yeah, he's not a great driver of the golf ball, but again, we don't need that this week necessarily. It's only going to cost him on the par fives, but he's a good wedge player too. So I would not talk you off of JT Poston at all. The high-owned guys here, as far as projections, are going to be Harmon and Hoagie. So the H is up top. I don't see them as being must plays at all in this range, especially at their ownership. Even though they're both straight hitters and pretty consistent, you know, I just don't see them as being guys that are priced so low that they must be played. Like, their projections are very similar to everybody else in this range.
I got Hoagie as one of the worst leverage plays of the week. And I've got Harmon as like the lowest projected scoring guy in the 7,000s at the very top of the field. So I think I'm zero interest in either Harmon or Hoagie.
Yeah, you know, I just want some guys who are going to plot it around, not get rattled. A guy who's really been over the last close to a year since he burst on the scene at the whatever course they play at PGA National, the Honda or the what's it called? I don't know. Eric Cole. He's the guy that I like, just as far as his ability to grind it out. Good short game, solid, consistent. Chris Kirk, kind of in that same ilk. Like Chris Kirk a lot this week. He started playing really well last week and then sort of fizzled over the weekend, but not a course that he necessarily would, I would expect him to rise to the top. Much more of an emphasis on driving the ball long. But this week, Kirk sort of has that skill set that I like. And him at 7,600, I got him at sub 4% owned. One of my favorite plays here in this range. Lastly, I'm a big fan this week of Steven Yeager. He's shown some very good form this year. I think he's ready to sort of make a splash in a big event. So those are my guys here. Again, ownership is very spread out outside of those top two guys towards the upper end of the range. So are you not in forgive and forget mode with Adam Scott? You're avoiding him?
I don't know, man. Flag plant wore the hat for him last week. And it just hurt my soul. It just hurt so much. So, but you know, he's an experienced player who can compete on the big stage. So he's never out when we're playing these, you know, special tournaments. But let's get to that 6K range. We're running out of time here. Do you have any guess who my highest leverage score of the entire 6K range could be this week?
Don't say Luke List.
Luke List, baby.
Ah.
Luke List, baby.
He just keeps coming back into these conversations. I don't like it, Danger. Why is he? He's like my ex that I still sort of have feelings for, and you know, in my most vulnerable moments, I'm like, you know, it could have been something. Yeah. The timing was no, Luke, go away, stop it. I don't want to. I can't do this anymore. You've already hurt me. Let's talk about Doug Gim. I'm not playing Luke List. Luke List will look great. He will look great like Friday morning, and then he'll make three triple bogeys, and you'll be like, why did I do this to myself? But yeah, Doug Gim is looking like the highest owned player, along with Aaron Rye. He's up 7K. Again.
Yeah, tell me about Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye pops up as the highest leverage play in both the two different site models that I ran. Why?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rye is like he's a very consistent, slightly above average strokes gained player almost across the board. And that's kind of what you want here. He doesn't have any glaring weaknesses. And that's the one thing about this course that we know is if you have a glaring weakness, it's probably going to expose you over the course of 4 days. So Aaron Rye is the guy that I'm never like overly excited to click, except when he is super cheap on a course that does fit him. So I do like Aaron Rye this week. If his ownership, I'm going to keep an eye on it, stays up in that 10% range, it's almost an auto fade for me at this particular course, just because you can eject so quickly. And again, the high ownership guys have historically failed almost without fail year after year. So not the guy that I'm looking at. Doug Gim, just as far as the ownership goes, if he's up around 10%, it's an auto fade for me. The guys that are intriguing to me in the 6K range, I like Mathieu Pavon. He's shown some very good form this spring, leading into the spring, I guess you could say. The Todd father, man, he played great last week. Not a course you would think fits him, but Brendan Todd is that plotter that just sort of hits fairways and greens. He's still going to hit he's going to be hitting the approach shots from the same range as guys that do bomb it. So if there's ever a week where he can sort of make up that lack of driving distance gap, this is sort of that week. So the Todd father is a guy that I'm really interested in this week. And then down towards the bottom of this range, Ryo Hisetsune is looking like a good leverage play for me. Projections looking good. I'd be surprised if he didn't make the cut. 3% ownership, give it to me. And then Ryan Fox, the Fox man. He's sort of been up and down with his form this year, but he's a guy that does strike the ball very well tee to green. He's got a little bit of length. So on these par fives, he could certainly strike and make a lot of birdies there. So yeah, those are kind of the guys that I have my eye on in this 6K range. How about
you, bud? I hear you, buddy. We're running a minute late already. So I will say, I will echo your like of Mathieu Pavon. He's one of my guys here. Ryan Fox also scores really well in my model. And a little Andrew Novak, just a tiny little bit of Andrew Novak. I probably won't play him, but he's interesting. Let's get into that 5K range. New this year for the first time in several years in DraftKings. Is we've got a 5K range. I will tell you the models that I have run, the guys that pop. Give me 1 second and let me hit that button again because I went away from it. Zip, zip, zip back to the top. The guys that pop the most up there for me is there we are. We're back to it. Sorry about that. Nate Lashley, Carl Juan, and Vincent Norman. They're the ones that popped up in the 5K range as an interesting model blip.
Yeah, I don't mind Norman. Other two I'm not particularly interested in, but the guys that it's a long list. That's the interesting part about it.
It's a super long list. There's a lot of 5K guys.
And I think that's part of why you see Scotty priced up so high and then Xander, you know, up above 11K. They're giving you some options to sort of balance out that lineup with some value plays. So I'll give you my most volatile, like could boom, could easily shoot 78 on Thursday and be done. Is Seamus Power. He's shown some form. He has flashed in the past and shown very good streaks of elite level play. So I like the Irishman there. I also don't mind Mr. Sam Ryder. We talked about how this is an approach course. When he's on, when he brings his game, he is truly one of the top 10, 15 ball strikers in the field as far as his approach game coming into the green. So Ryder's a guy that I like there. He's at 5,600. So anybody down here is going to give you great value, but that's particularly good. And then lastly, Lee Hodges. He was popping last week through a couple rounds, sort of faded, but he's the kind of guy that I think gives you some upside. Again, I'm not saying he's like a great bet to top 20, but cut makers down here, if you're trying to get Scotty and somebody else high priced in your lineup, you're going to need guys like that. So Lee Hodges is the last guy I'll mention. I take that back. One more dude, shown some form recently, a Scotsman, Party Marty. We haven't talked about him in years, but Party Marty, you know, he hits the ball plenty high. He's long enough to hit these par fives and two. Why not Party Marty, man? It's a fun week. We can have some fun with Party Marty.
Fair enough. All right. And just to close it out, a simple note on the ceiling projections that I have run. In the 5K range, the highest projected ceiling in the model that I ran was Mark Hubbert, Kwanghoon Lee, were the two guys at the top of the 5K range and highest projected ceiling score. Interesting. Interesting. All right, Adam, we got to get out of here. So you got to give me your favorite guy at the top end. Let's eliminate Scotty. Let's say Scotty's great. Who is it? Who is the not Scotty at the top?
Yeah, we've almost gotten to that point, haven't we? We sort of have to say... Outside of Scotty, everybody knows he's the best. I'm actually going to go with Xander. I think Xander's a great bet to contend this week. Yeah, let's go with Xander at 11.3.
I like it. I'm going flop lag with Mr. Cantlay.
Don't hate it.
Back to Mr. Cantlay. All right, give me that like 8-9K range favorite play.
You know, 8-9K range, if we're including the nines, I got to go with Ludvig. I think his ownership being down where it is, his skill set at these club down courses, his approach game, he's flying under the radar. It's good enough for me, man. Give me some Ludvig.
Super gross, but I'm going to join that bandwagon. He's who I had circled.
Did you have to?
Yep. Sorry, buddy. All right. How about your 7 and 6K range? Let's see. I'll give you JT Poston. I'm going back to Poston. I'm playing the old favorites today.
Going back to the postman. I'm gonna go with the guy that we. No, I'm not. I'm gonna go with Chris Kirk at 7,600. I know we're going down to a major value play after that, but yeah, Kirk at 76. He's the kind of guy I want in my lineup this week.
Absolutely dig it. All right, I'm going to take us down to the major value play. And I'm going to go with a guy you mentioned, but that I seconded, and Mr. Ryan Fox at 6,200 as my ultra value play.
Yeah, Foxy is a guy. I can't double you on that. I can't jump on that wagon because it just we know it's not going to end well. but I have another guy who is sort of a similar skill set to Mr. Chris Kirk. his ownership's looking a little higher than I would like, but I'm differentiating enough up top with guys like Ludwig. I'm going to go with the Todd father, man. Let's go Brendan Todd. Super consistent, old man type game, but I dig it. I dig it. Let's go Brendan Todd. 6,500.
I like it. I like it. He was on fire a couple of years ago in the first couple of months. We made some money on him. So let's do it again. All right, Adam, thank you for your time today. Good luck in our brand new Dangerous PGA contest this week. Good luck to you, sir. If you need more PGA information, please head over to drroto.com and become a member, and you can get the weekly article from Miss Alicia Hunt, the millionaire winner herself. And of course, you can get our cheat sheets with Adam and myself and Dr. Roto and the rest of the gang putting up their favorite cheat sheet picks for the PGA every single week. And of course, baseball is kicking off. Of course, we've got two of the best hockey guys in town. We've got some amazing college basketball content coming for the tournament and daily fantasy for that as well. So make sure you go to drroto.com, subscribe, and check out all the rest of the stuff. Adam, may your screens be green, my friend.
Happy 313 day, Detroit repping, baby.
Woo.
Later.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drroto.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.